Thank you very much, William, for that introduction. Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. I bring you greetings from the Emlif Church or the Evangelical Methodist Church in the Philippines, which, as mentioned earlier, is an affiliate, autonomous member of the United Methodist Church. Thank you for your kind invitation to be your guest preacher this morning. Even as you observe in your congregation today, the Filipino Heritage Sunday, I commend you for giving importance to your heritage and for this annual observance. Thank you too, Pastor Stacy, for allowing me to occupy your pulpit this morning. I received stern warning from my good friend Edith Lasarte not to preach long this morning, or else this will be my first and last engagement in your church. Di ko alam kung kamag-anak niyan si Duterte. Kahit na obispo, hindi ginagalang. Translation, Edith Lasarte is so good, kind, and generous. So I will do away with my pleasantries and proceed right away to our reflection this morning. You know, in the Philippines, it is a common practice for parents to ask their children to run errands. And this is usually done by sending them to a corner store to buy some stuff. When kids do not do things right, parents may scold them with a very unflattering remark, "Para kang si Benito. You are like Benito, the servant." I must admit that up to now, I never knew the origin of this characterization. But it is said that the servant Benito will need to make several trips to the store to complete a very simple errand. For example, if his master tells him to go to the store to see if there is fish, he'll go to check and report that there is. His master will ask what fish are in the store, and Benito will go back to check and return to report what fish the store has. When the master asks how much is the fish, Benito will go back again to ask and report the price. Benito simply did not have it. He never had it to see a big picture. But of course, there were servants who were resourceful and wise. They had common sense. Unfortunately, not Benito. Now, in this discourse of the Lord Jesus with his disciples in John 15, he used the word servant, not necessarily Benito's type, as those who will go or who will do a task because they are paid to do so. He described a servant as one who does not know his master's business, in contrast to a friend who does. Jesus went further to describe a friend as one who obeys his command, like Abraham, who in his obedience was called God's friend, as mentioned in James chapter 2, verse 23. And so if we look at the exegetical framework of our scripture reference this morning, the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples in this passage are very significant, since he was coming close to the end of his ministry and his time with them is about to end. He spoke about three things. First, to love one another. Second, to obey his command. And third, to bear fruit that will last. The Lord Jesus was not imposing on them responsibilities that are beyond what they are able. They will be able, because he made sure of that, by doing it first to them and showing them how. Because Jesus first did it to them, they became responsible to do it to others. And so accountability is the willingness to accept responsibility. And so they have become accountable to God. Willingness to accept responsibility that we become accountable to God. Let us examine these responsibilities in the light of what the scripture says. One, love one another. We love because he first loved us. The Apostle John declares in 1 John 4:19, and it says, God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. Verse 9. Love became the evidence of being a child of God. And in verse 7, it says, everyone who loves has been born of God. And finally, John 13:35 says also, it has become a mark of discipleship when it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Second is obey his command. Jesus challenged his disciples to obedience based on his own pattern. It says in John 15:10, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands. And it says that even his going to the cross, when the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. But more importantly, he put a premium on their obedience. When John 15:14 says, you are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And so Jesus implied in calling his disciples his friends, as distinguished from servants, as distinguished from servants. Friends that they understand his business. Third, bear fruit that will last. In Jesus' time, the Jews have the privilege to pick as a teacher a rabbi of their choice. But that is not the case with the disciples. It was Jesus himself who chose them. Their appointment as disciples to go and bear fruit indicates that Jesus was confident that they will do so. Of course, no doubt, Jesus always knew what he was doing and what he was saying. And in definitively stating fruit that will last, he meant people as fruit, as in his disciples, as his fruits. And I hope that as we continue our journey as members of the Lord's church, we can identify ourselves as faithful disciples of Christ. What do all this mean to us today? I'm trying to establish that by doing what he did to his disciples, Jesus made them responsible to love, obey, and bear fruit that will last. The responsibility made them accountable to God to replicate the process. Let's go back to Jesus' words about the master's business that servants do not understand, but friends do. In his classic book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, Dr. Robert Coleman has this to say about Jesus doing his business. And I quote, "Here is the wisdom of his or Jesus' method. We return again to the fundamental principle of concentration on those who intended to use. One cannot transform a world except as individuals in the world are transformed. And individuals cannot be changed except as they are molded in the hands of the master." End of quote. The 12 men he trained are his fruits. And he knew that they will last. In relating this strategy to the present, Dr. Coleman had this to say, quote, "Yet strangely enough, it is scarcely comprehended in practice today. Most evangelistic efforts of the church begin with the multitudes under the assumption that the church is qualified to preserve what good is done. The result is our spectacular emphasis on numbers of converts with little or no genuine concern manifested toward the preservation and continuation of the work," unquote. Also, Dr. Coleman points to the fact that Jesus' strategy was determined by his objective. He said, and I quote, "His life," Jesus' life, "was ordered by his objective. Everything he did and said was a part of the whole pattern. It had significance because it contributed to the ultimate purpose of his life in redeeming the world for God. This was the motivating vision governing his behavior. His steps were ordered by it, And not for one moment did Jesus lose sight of his goal, unquote. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, he was clear on his business and that he passed on to his disciples. Where does that bring us today? The challenge to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is to fully understand the big picture, not a myopic perception of its tasks. Understand the big picture of what the Master wants accomplished in the world today. Howard Schneider, a Methodist social activist, in his book Liberating the Church, differentiated the church business vis-a-vis the kingdom business and the church people vis-a-vis the kingdom people. He said, and I quote, "In the church business, people are concerned with church activities, religious behavior, and spiritual things. In the kingdom business, people are concerned with kingdom activities. All human behavior and everything God has made visible and invisible. Kingdom people seek first the kingdom of God and its justice, while church people often put church work above concerns of justice, mercy, and truth. Church people think about how to get people into the church, but kingdom people think about how to get the church out into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church, but kingdom people work to see the church change the world." Unquote. And so there you are, my friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are responsible to understand fully the Master's business, and we are accountable to him to fulfill it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.